4 years of hope, 4 years of hell. Every 4 years, like clockwork, politicians emerge across the land promising everything from peace to justice to a chicken in every pot. Invariably, when the cycle renews itself, the promises of politicians turn like rotted fruit into the lost hopes of false promises. It is forgotten today, but way back in the 1964 presidential campaign, Lyndon Johnson was seen as the peace candidate. After his election, however, what the American people saw was anything but peace. Anti-imperialist political prisoner David Gilbert, who as a young anti-war activist recalled those years in his new book, No Surrender. He said, "I was still tutoring when the U.S. started bombing North Vietnam. Actually, the first bombing was in August 1964 with the famed Tonkin Gulf Resolution. This was an initial flurry to prepare public opinion and establish a legal justification for an undeclared war. The sustained bombing did not begin until February 24, 1965, shortly after Johnson's election as the peace candidate. I knew that the U.S. had imposed an unpopular dictatorship on South Vietnam, although I couldn't understand why our democratic government would do this," he wrote. Johnson, in fact, did what his predecessors had done in earlier administrations. As former CIA Station Chief John Stockwell noted in his 1991 book called The Praetorian Guard, he writes, "Everyone knows that politicians routinely exaggerate, distort, and make promises that they know full well they can never fulfill. They're selling illusions of themselves. They're coached and packaged by professional public relations teams who have made a science out of the marketing of politics. War, too, is packaged and sold. Woodrow Wilson campaigned in 1912, promising to keep the United States out of World War I. Franklin Delano Roosevelt campaigned in 1940, very careful not to appear as if he wanted to take the nation into World War II on the side of the British. Lyndon Johnson promised in 1964 that American boys would not die in Vietnam. Once elected, each of those presidents did lead the nation into wars in which hundreds of thousands of young American soldiers died. Moreover, most of the dead, without understanding the issues, had been conditioned to believe that it was proper for them to fight and die," he writes. It is the year 2004, and a season of empty presidential promises continues. Both of the latest candidates, now greasing up to slip into the White House, will support the further growth of the army. Bush is unwrapping plans to push his crusade into Iran or Syria. Kerry, robot-like, promises in an echo that is ironically Nixonian to stay the course in Iraq. Both are sold on the notion of occupation, although they disagree about techniques. There's something both familiar and eerily depressing about the presidential campaign of 2004. Both major corporate parties are parties of empire who agree on the basics but differ on trivialities. Both parties are bought and sold on Wall Street. This is an election about style, the stoic, smirking crassness of a good old boy named George, and the serious, deep thinker impressions of war hero John. They're really virtually interchangeable. The problem here is that neither major political party candidate can even dare to truly offer a real rescue to the embattled workers in America. That's because both are essentially globalists who want to work to support transnational businesses. Bush works well with the princes of Saudi Arabia and the military dictatorship in Pakistan. Kerry wants to shoehorn in the French and the Germans. The imperial project remains unchanged. Lost in the sauce, as always, is the reshaping of the U.S. economy. The manufacturing jobs are going, going, and soon to be gone. The U.S. worker is increasingly a service worker who, by the rigid laws of capitalist economics, will make much less than the manufacturer. The reason's simple. The manufacturer makes a product. The service employee provides a service. We are once again in the silly season, the political campaign. the major media will doubtless spend its precious time, yours, by the way, covering each of them. But truth be told, there ain't no story there. There may be spectacle. There may be an occasional soundbite. But the war will go on, and the economy will slide again. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.